You've got a bright future ahead of you. The future is bright for humanity. The future's bright. The future's orange. Why is it that we talk about the future being bright? Why do we choose to use that language, whether it's in politics or science or advertising? Well, essentially, it's a narrative of progress. A narrative where the past is seen as being dark, and the future is where the light of knowledge, improvement, and solutions lie. And since the readings in this service, and so much of the Christmas imagery, focuses on light and darkness, it's important to take a few minutes to try and understand how the world around us uses these terms. And then to see how the Christian claim of light brought into darkness is actually much better news than perhaps we might have thought. Ever since the Age of Enlightenment, we continue to look to human reason and scientific inquiry to shed new light on things, to move us forwards. The famous 18th century poet, Alexander Pope, summed up the spirit of this Enlightenment age very succinctly in this rhyming couplet. Nature and nature's laws lay hid in night. God said, let Newton be, and all was light. You see, even though Alexander Pope was a man of faith, for him it was science that was really bringing light to a dark world. Great technological and medical advances, changes in social structures and social attitudes, have all added weight to this way of seeing the world. So how much do we subscribe to this way of thinking? Do we see the past as something that's dark, something we must move away from, and the future as being bright, something we must keep advancing towards with great hope? Now, there are undoubtedly many very good things to celebrate about progress. Progress that we've each benefited from, whether it's in medical advances, new technology, or in social changes. But we should perhaps take a moment to also question some of the complexities of this progress narrative. For instance, why is it that the number of people self-harming has more than doubled between 2000 and 2014? Why is it that the prison population in England and Wales has almost doubled since 1990? Why is it that rates of depression and anxiety amongst teenagers has increased by 70% in the last 25 years? Now, people who are less optimistic about the age we now live in respond to these growing problems by claiming that we've actually got these ideas of light and darkness the wrong way round. The solution, they say, is to go back, that the glow of light is actually dimming and not getting brighter. They say that we need to recover it somehow, make America great again, like it used to be, sever ties with the European Union and go back to the way it was before 1972. Avoid processed foods and eat natural, local and independent rather than global and corporate. And of course, many of us will feel that each of these assessments of where light and darkness lie is appropriate depending on the particular situation. In some areas, we will want to cry, press on, forwards to the light. And in other areas, we will instead want to cry, go back before it gets too dark. Might I suggest that this well-known and very rich passage that we've just heard from John chapter 1 suggests that neither pressing forwards into the future nor retreating back into the past is ultimately the solution to the most important and pressing needs that humanity has. You see, in every age, the key human problems remain the same. The human condition has been the same. The problem of pride, greed, bitterness, selfishness. Common to every age. The Gospel writer John invites us instead to step outside of time and to see that the true light comes from the Word who exists out of human history. Look at the beginning of that reading. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. That's an important claim for us to examine, because if we're prepared to consider it to be true, then the light that Jesus brings isn't ignorant, backward, and dark teaching from 2,000 years ago. No, it's light coming from the very one who understands this world, the one who understands humanity far better than we ever could, the one who existed outside of time, and yet also the one who stepped into time as the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, understanding humanity as one who walked this earth. If I were to ask you right now what is happening outside in the churchyard, we each of us could come up with different theories about what may or may not be true. But the Christian claim is that we don't need to guess about what's going on outside. No, the Christian claim is that someone comes in through the door from outside to tell us. And the tragedy is that even though he brings with him light and life, even though he's full of grace and truth, even though he comes to a world which is his own, a world that he brought into being, he's treated like an outsider. The world neither recognized or received him. And the world in John chapter 1 is described as being full of darkness. Full of darkness that doesn't want the light. But wonderfully, this darkness can't extinguish or overcome the light, no matter how much it resists the light. And that is part of the good news of Christmas. The darkness cannot defeat the light. And what exactly is this light? Well, quite simply, it's Jesus. The one who said of himself, "I am the light of the world," just a few chapters later in John's Gospel. The one who came to lighten and transform our darkness. The one who came to show us the way. The one who came to show us God himself. This light is God giving us eyes to see ourselves, to see the world around us as it truly is. Aged just 13, our current queen found a poem that expressed this very truth. She handed it to her parents, and her father then included it in his 1939 Christmas broadcast. It read, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light, that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness, and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light, and safer than a known way.' So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night." When I first found Christian faith as a teenager, I remember the experience of feeling that my eyes truly were being opened to see the world around me and to see myself so much more clearly than I had before. And this in itself is a wonderful thing. But it isn't everything that John promises. No, there's something far more important here as well. the result of receiving this light is that we are given the right to become children of God. And what could be more valuable than that? We could work for our whole lives to try to obtain health, wealth, significance, or to try and make a difference in the world, but none of these things can outstrip what comes with being a child of God, to know relationship with God himself. So, if we are going to take this Christian claim seriously, will we allow the light of Christ to interrogate contemporary wisdom? Will we allow the light of Christ to shine into the cultural blind spots of this age? If history has taught us anything, then we are certain to have some. But most importantly, will we allow the light of Christ to shine into our hearts? To allow him to do the uncomfortable job of exposing our darkness. The darkness of bitterness, anger, selfishness, pride, and greed. And as he does so, will we allow the light of Christ to bring us life? Where is it that you will be looking for answers and solutions this Christmas? We are invited to know eternal and abundant life by looking to Jesus. And as we close, can I commend to you two things? First of all, this short booklet, which you'll find in the pews, entitled Christmas Presents. It's a helpful reflection on the Christmas message. Taking it home to read with you would be a great way to reflect on what we've sung and heard this evening. And then there's Christianity Explored, a short course starting in January, and you'll find details for that on the back of the service sheets. Can I invite you to seriously examine the claim that light has truly come into darkness? And that is what we celebrate at Christmas. Let me close with this brief prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to know and to see your light this Christmas. Amen.